Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors.
Thank you and good evening to you. We are so pleased that you're aboard tonight. We have a great show lined up here in Maine Outdoors. As you know, we have been around for, golly, I don't know, how many years have we been doing this, Bob?
4 or 5 years,
more like
24 or 5.
Yeah, like a quarter of a century.
Absolutely.
How long can we keep this up?
Forever.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, nice to have you with us. We have a great guest tonight. I'm going to introduce him in just a minute. If you're interested, the topic tonight, we have a three-pronged approach. We're going to talk about deer hunting techniques, what to do, what not to do, deer camps, and if you have a deer camp, and we know a lot of you out there belong to deer camps, you probably have something you'd like to share as well. And we're also going to talk about how to smoke deer meat. And if you've never had smoked venison, you haven't lived. This is special stuff. And the guy we have here tonight knows how to do it, and we'll be talking to him in just a minute. First, the crew that make the show possible. So week after week after week for the past 25 years, is the chief engineer there behind the toggle switches in the operations center. He's known as the Grand Dragon of no, not the Grand Dragon. You are the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream, Norm Plord.
Good evening, Bob.
Nice to have you here.
So good to be here. So you're going to be cook at the camp this year?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, I filled my tag, so I'm going to be cooking, cleaning up, you know.
You don't have to get up so early in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I got to cook.
Oh, that's right. If you're going to cook breakfast.
Eggs over easy.
Yeah, right.
And guess what we have up to camp now? We have one of those brownstone.
Blackstone.
A blackstone.
Oh, you get a blackstone.
Blackstone.
So you get a griddle.
I got it half right.
Got a big griddle.
Oh, this griddle is so big, you can cook 2 dozen eggs over easy at once.
I don't doubt it. They're nice. Yeah. They're really nice.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Oh,
I'm excited about using that thing.
Pancakes.
Yeah. Pancakes for sure. Big pancakes.
Oh, yeah. Humongous.
Humongous, yeah. Gargantuan. Yeah, gorilla pancake. And the man behind the mic here for the co-host position is a registered Maine guide. He's a fabulous trout fisherman. He's written some great books about fishing. My friend Bob Lehman.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you extra so much.
Nice
and,
to have you.
I don't know if the listeners heard you, but you said you tagged a deer.
Yes, I did.
We'll have to hear about that a little later.
Oh, I'd love to talk about it.
Well, I bet you would.
I closed the deal. This Saturday, yeah. And our guest tonight is a special guy to me. He's been a childhood friend of my youngest son, and I've watched him grow up and become a mature human being. And the only thing I don't like about him, he's just too good a hunter. And I hate him because he's such a good hunter. And he's so much better than I am, and I've been working at it for 65 years. But I respect him, though. I respect his ability. He knows how to hunt. He's a bow hunter. He's a gun hunter. And he always does well year after year after year. And it doesn't matter if it's a bad hunting season, he still comes through and punches a tag. He knows his stuff, and he's going to share some of that with you. I think he's a little secretive about some things. He hasn't been able to share those with me as much as I've probed. But anyway, he's a great guy. And not only is he a great deer hunter, he is also a member of a highly prestigious deer hunting group called the Skulkers of Sebois. Josh Cottrell, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. And we'll be talking to Josh here in just a couple of minutes. We have a phone number. If you'd like to call in and ask Josh a question, or you want to tell us about your deer camp, you can do so at what number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039, and you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local. 1-800-966-1039.
That's right, and engineer Norm likes to ask you to turn your radio down. That way you won't get that distracting echo. And if you wondered, if you're just new in town, you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1 down in Rockland. And of course, you know, you can listen to our podcasts as well. We have like all of the shows that we do are recorded. And you can go to the WVOM website and hear those. We are also streaming, live streaming around the world.
Positively.
And if you're living in, if you're down in Boston, Mass, and you want to hear the show, you can listen to us by going to what?
WVOM-FM.
WVOM-FM.
Podcast.
Yeah.
And from there, you're on your own. But sure, just go to Main Outdoor Show, and you're in.
Yeah, just click on listen, right?
Yeah, click on listen.
All right.
And you'll be live.
Okay, you bet. That's
already
study.
Have people who have called in and said they're listening live. So
oh, yeah, they do.
That's what I could find.
And we have a caller already. Wow. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're on Main Outdoors.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Fine. What's your first name, sir?
My name's Caleb.
Caleb, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you. You guys were talking about the Blackstone.
Yeah.
Griddle. And so I've had one for many years, and I don't know if you guys know, but they don't come pre-seasoned. So you got to pre-season them like you would a cast iron.
Yeah, we heard
a skillet.
Yeah, when I went up to camp today to take my gear up, I looked at it and I picked up the cover, and I could tell the boys that bought it had already done that. They seasoned it because it's
oh, cool.
Turned,
yeah. It makes a huge difference.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. Yep.
Just like with a cast iron pan.
Yeah. You like yours?
I mean, year round, we're up here in Greenville on Moosehead Lake, and we live here year round and use it. I mean, not every day, but pretty darn close.
Oh, good. So is it true? Is it true, Caleb? You can cook 5 pounds of bacon and 2 dozen eggs all at once?
Well, mine is the 22-inch. So it sounds like yours is a lot bigger.
Yeah, it's. But I'd say it's about a mile and a half wide.
Yeah, a mile and a half will do about 5 pounds of bacon.
Okay, all right. Well, okay,
all right.
Good to hear from you, Caleb. Thanks for
all
the call.
Right,
good night, sir. We have another caller. Let's take it. Good evening. Boy, they're calling early tonight. I wonder what's going on. Must be the cold weather. Good evening. You're in Main Outdoors. Your first name, sir, or ma'am. Hello. Are you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. His name is Bill.
Okay. What's going on, Bill?
Well, I called you this time last year, and your topic was experiences at deer camp. And I had called you because I had been to deer camp for 60 years. This would be my 61st. But the reason I called, the next morning I killed a buck. So I figured if I called again, maybe tomorrow morning I'd get my buck.
Okay. Well, we hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. But I did. I shot a buck the next morning about 10 after 8. And I told my buddy here at camp, I says, I got to call him up tonight and maybe I'll have luck a second time.
Okay. Your name is Phil or Bill?
Bill.
Bill.
I come up from Connecticut.
Okay. And you've been hunting for 65 years?
I've been, this is my, well, longer than that, actually, but it's my 61st year at deer camp.
Yeah.
I only missed 1 year.
Yeah, well.
Always went to Vermont up until my early 30s, and then I've gone to Maine ever since.
Well, I think I've got you beat. I'm not sure. I've been at it more than 65 years, I think. And
The
only time I missed it was when I was in the Navy. Other than that, I've been every fall for 65 years. Anyway, good for you. Good for you, sir.
Yeah, and I love your show when I come up. I look forward to it. Yeah. So I'm glad I have a chance to participate in it. And God willing, I'll call you next year.
Okay, well, we hope so. And stay healthy. Now, by the way, personal question, but at your age, are you able to step over those blowdowns without breaking your neck? Are you able to manipulate? Do you still walk in the woods, or do you sit somewhere?
No. I walk. The one I shot last year, I was still hunting. And that's the only reason. I know all about the blowdowns. That's why I said, God willing, I'll talk to you next year.
Right. Yeah, well, be careful. Be careful, Bill.
I am.
All right.
I am. Thank you. Thank you for the show.
Okay, and get your buck tomorrow. Okay, take care.
I hope so.
All right, good luck. Bye-bye. All right, where were we? Just want to remind you, this show is sponsored in part by the Northwood Sporting Journal, Bob Lehman's favorite hunting and fishing publication.
It certainly is.
And if you'd like to get a subscription, you can call the office at 732-4880. And Alicia's a friendly lady. She'd be glad to take your subscription. And want to remind you, if you're thinking about Christmas shopping, I know it's a little early. Not Thanksgiving's not even here yet. But if you do plan to shop early, make sure you consider a subscription to the Journal for the favorite sportsman or sportswoman in your family. And also, let's see, outdoor books are also available on our website. We've got a whole list of outdoor books, a great collection. Bob's books are there. My books are there. Hal Blood's books are there. Josh Cottrell's book will be there one day. And you can just go to sportingjournal.com and click on outdoor books, and you can get a whole listing.
Great. Sure.
Of those books. Make great Christmas presents for anybody who likes the great outdoors. Let's see, a couple of other things here on Outdoor Digest. Deer season update. Josh, you're hearing that the harvest may be a little down, you think?
I think so. I think it's at 23,000 today.
Already, is it?
Yeah. We're down to less than 2 weeks. You know, last year was 47.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to match those numbers.
But it didn't seem to impact you at all.
No.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen as much. I've been out, you know, hunting ever since end of September, between bow hunting, gun hunting, and I'm not seeing the hunters I used to see. And I don't know whether it's the times or what, but I'm not seeing the action that I've seen, and not hearing as many shots as you usually do either.
I was a young man, Paul, hunting 20s, 30s, 40s. There was shots all day, every day.
Yeah.
The air was full of shots.
Well, you guys didn't tag deer didn't shoot very well either.
Nowadays, I guess so. Nowadays, you hear all day, you never hear a shot.
Yeah.
Never hear a shot.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I probably heard, I was out sometimes all day, might have heard one shot. You know, so it's, maybe the hunting activity's down. I'm not sure. Anyway, don't forget, too, that if you have a doe permit, and you're in a zone where they issue doe permits, you can also take a buck. This is a twofer year. A lot of people get confused about that, right, Josh?
Correct. Yeah, seems to confuse a lot of people.
So, conceivably, I don't understand this, but I think you do. I could tell by talking. If everything worked out for you, you had a doe permit, and you bow hunted, you black powder hunted, you gun hunted in November. How many possible tags could you actually have if you played the system right?
So I think with your regular license, I think they capped it at two additional doe tags that you could buy. So you can fill two doe tags via bow, gun, or muzzle.
You can.
And then you also get your buck tag. And that's not counting expanded archery where you can buy unlimited doe tags another buck tag.
Yeah. So if you didn't do expanded archery, you could conceivably get two does.
I think
does
you can
shoot
three, yeah.
Two does and a buck.
Yep.
And then if you do expanded archery, the sky's the limit, right?
The sky's the limit.
Yeah. Yep. Incredible. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's exciting. Okay. We learned a little something about that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, maybe it's me, but I tagged out, took my little buck on Saturday, and then I drove all over creation trying to find a darn tagging station. Do we have fewer tagging stations than we used to? What's going on?
100%. Yeah.
What's going on, I wonder?
Locally, you've had stores close. Bob's Cozy Corner was a big
one. Yeah, they're closed. I drove over there, and they were closed.
The store out in Hamden, I can't remember the name, they just stopped tagging
deer. Yeah.
I get it. You know, they're getting $5. It takes their employee that they can barely get, you know, 15 minutes out of their day.
Yeah.
So I understand it.
Yeah. Maybe this is a subject that ought to be revisited by the Fish and Wildlife Department.
Most of the country has gone to online tagging.
Yeah,
and I don't see why it couldn't happen here. I still like the tradition of going to the tagging station.
Yeah,
and that, but the reality is we could probably go to a call-in system or anything like that.
I like going into the tagging stations because people come up to you and say, hey, you got your deer, huh? And you can snap your suspenders a little bit, you know, and pop yourself up. So, but I like going to the tagging station. You get a cup of coffee and
see, I do the difference. I try to hide. I try to get in, get tagged, and get gone before anybody shows up.
Because you're afraid they might ask you where you hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can tell you right now that you're not going to tell them anything. I know from experience. Anyway.
Yeah, you've asked a lot.
Yeah, we got to look. I did what?
You've asked a lot.
I know. Lament that I gave you, although it didn't work on you, it worked on another guy. I can't tell you the whole story, but he's a sweetheart of a guy. And finally, after 2 years, I broke him down, and he let me into his honey hole.
Oh, I heard.
Yeah, I had. Yeah. What I said to him, I said, look, I'm 80. I'm an old guy. How many more seasons have I got? You know, have pity. And he came through. So he's got a bigger heart than you do.
Oh, 100%.
Much more compassionate. Yeah.
I'm the big boss fast.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Okay, what's going on in the fishing world, Bob?
Well, right now there's a lot going on in the rivers and streams, Paul.
What's going on?
The landlocked salmon and the Atlantic salmon are both spawning at this time of year,
yes,
you know.
They are, yeah.
And the brook trout are pretty well done with their spawning activities, but there's a few stragglers over there. But right now it's all Atlantic salmon and landlocked salmon.
Yep.
Right, about any major river or stream, you'll see salmon. There's salmon in the lake. You'll see salmon in the outlet right now.
Yeah, I looked this morning. I drove up to the camp, and there's a bridge that goes over the outlet to Schoodick Lake.
Yep.
And last year, remember that? Those salmon were all stacked up.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And fighting for reproduction rights or whatever. Yep. And I looked this time really close. I didn't see a thing. I don't know.
They will. Yeah. They're not. It might be a little late this year. It has been.
Yeah.
They should be going. You know,
I was kind of disappointed.
We've had some cold nights.
It's a fun thing to watch when they're floating around.
It is. Yeah. Well, I went down to Grand Lake Stream a few years ago, and it was right around an Amherst, well, I used to call it Amherst Day, Veterans Day now. And it was around the 11th of November, and my friend and I walked out into the dam pool with waders.
Yep.
And we'd have to lower into it. It was quite shallow. And you talk about salmon, hundreds and hundreds of them.
Wow.
And there were, you know, nests all over the place, what they call them?
Reds.
There are reds everywhere. Mm-hmm. Male female. Of course, the males all have these big kites now.
Yeah.
And they were loaded with sperm, of course, right? Fat as a butterball. And so were the females with eggs.
Eggs, yeah.
And they were full activity going. It was amazing to watch, really was.
Yeah.
And the on the shores, lines up in the trees, were eagles ready to pounce. And in the air, there was also the vultures, turkey vultures.
Yeah.
And they were also on the prowl, you can believe that.
Oh, yeah.
There was 8 or 10 eagles and maybe half a dozen of turkey vultures, and they were all after salmon, and sometimes they would fly down on the turkey vultures would come down, or the eagle was feeding on a salmon. Turkey vulture would down, spread those massive wings, and the eagle would back off. Can you believe that? Eagle would black off.
No
back
kidding.
Off.
Yeah, amazing.
And that turkey vulture stepped right in So one of the eagles flew down out of the tree. I had this on film. I think I showed it to you one time. An eagle came down out of a tree, hit a turkey vulture with his claws right on top of the head. You could see the furs fly.
Wow.
In this case, it was feathers.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, really. But, you know, he didn't pay no attention at all. He just kept on eating, you know, and just looked around a little bit and kept on eating. So, and amazing that run those big wings out. And the eagles would back off.
Yeah.
Because the eagles could tear that thing apart if they wanted.
Of course they could, yeah.
I would think so. But it's amazing right now. So as I say, they're full reproduction. Grand Lake Stream, they say Grand Lake Stream, it only comes up with about 1% of activity afterwards. After the spawning, the success that they have is down to only like 1%. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe.
Yeah.
But of course, all this reproduction going on in the hatcheries, you know, and everything, so. You know, they've taken away all the natural hormones and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
And it's a shame when you look at it, that reproduction success is pretty small.
Yeah. Yeah. Mother Nature works in mysterious ways. Okay. Thanks for that report.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. And now we're going to segue right into the trivia question. And Bob Lehman, who ties the most exquisite streamer flies you have ever used or seen, he's graciously agreed, to part with one of those if you know the answer to Josh Cottrell's question.
All right. Tonight's question, based on all the acorns we have this year, it's a two-part question. What is the most plentiful oak tree in Maine, and from which type of oak do deer prefer the acorns?
All right. 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back.
No, actually.
We're not going to be right back.
No, because we don't have anything to fill in. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I like that.
We're already here.
I'm glad to get rid of those darn commercials. That's great. Okay. All right. So anyway, ponder that question, and you call, and Norm will pick up the phone, and we'll connect and see if you have the right answer. If Josh Cottrell is satisfied with your answer, he's a hard guy to please. But if he likes your answer, Bob's going to make sure you get one of his great streamer flies. Okay, our guest tonight, if you joined us late again, is Josh Cottrell. He is a exquisite, I don't know if exquisite is probably not the right word. He is a an accomplished deer hunter.
Accomplished.
A man who, proof is in the pudding, and he's the guy that always brings home the pudding. And we're going to talk to Josh just as soon as we deal with his trivia question. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's John.
Hi, John.
I think it's the white oak and the red oak.
In which order? Which one's the most plentiful?
Red oak, and white oak.
There you go.
Okay.
Correct.
You got the right answer, right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. You've pleased the judge. He says you have the right answer. Congratulations. You have won.
Thank you, Paul.
You've won of Bob Lehman's great streamer flies.
You have
thank you so much.
Do you have a preference?
I like trout flies.
Trout flies? You mean small casting
brook
flies?
Trout.
Yeah.
Brook trout.
Like maybe a hornbill or something like that, grasshopper or so forth?
That's grasshopper's good.
Okay, I'll do it. Tie it right up.
Thank you, Bob.
Oh, you're welcome. Nice to talk to you. Have a nice night.
Okay, and congratulations to you. Stay on the line, if you would, and Norm will get your mailing address so Bob can ship that fly to you, okay?
Okay, thank you. Congratulations to you.
You still there? Is he
still
there? Hello?
You got to turn down your radio.
Yeah, turn your radio down. And okay, stand by for Norm, okay? He's going to get your address.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, let's get down to business. Josh Cottrell, not only is he an accomplished deer hunter and really good game cooker, he's also he's distinguished in the fact that he is a second-generation member of the most prestigious hunting group called the Skulkers of Savoies. And as you probably don't know, each of us, Bob, have a nickname.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
My nickname, for example, is Thumb.
Thumb?
Thumb.
What the heck did he ever
Well,
get
I was named that by one of the founders when he found out that I could bake a pie.
Oh,
you know, in the old days, the cooks would use their thumb to go around the outside of the pie.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
I was thinking of Tom Thumb. But
no. So that's how I got my nickname, is because of my culinary talent.
That is quite a profession.
Yeah.
You have there.
and guess what Josh Cottrell's nickname is?
I'd say Master.
No, his nickname is Boomer.
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 All right. Well,
and
well
that's
said.
Because he's so soft spoken. Anyway, nice to have you here, Josh. And let's start out by talking a little bit about deer hunting. Now, you are a guy that brings home the venison every year, and you obviously have developed the knowledge and the skill to do that. And would like to know a little bit about how did you begin deer hunting? How did it start for you?
So it started kind of like it did for most of us, with my dad. And it was one of those things that he always took the time. Saturdays were, he worked all the time, but Saturdays were sacred. And we deer hunted every Saturday.
So you grew up with it?
I grew up with it. Bird hunting and yep. hunting. It was great.
Yeah. And you started like 10 years old?
10 12? Years old, like, you know, like we did back then when there was an age limit. But yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't shoot my first deer until I was 18.
Did you really?
So, yeah.
Do you remember your first deer?
Oh, 100%. Snow Mountain.
Oh.
10 inches of snow, 8 degrees.
Yeah.
I shot it still hunting. Shot him in his bed.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hunted that mountain when I was a youngster, not a youngster, when I was a young man.
Right.
In Winterport. And it always used to be on opening day on Snow Mountain. It sounded like the Civil War.
Yeah.
And I didn't know whether I was safe to be there or not. But boy, the deer were there.
Oh, it was great.
Apple orchards all around there.
Yep.
Yeah. Those were the days, Snow Mountain. And so anyway, you were hooked from the beginning.
I was, yeah.
Obviously.
And I think it was that. I think it was the challenge of it took so long to accomplish that first deer.
Yeah. When did you take up bow hunting?
I took up bow hunting in my early 20s. So
you did?
I've been doing it probably 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And you hunt with bow and gun?
I do.
You do both?
Yep.
And if you could only have one of them, which would you select?
Oh, I'd bow hunt in a heartbeat if that was the only option. Yeah.
Why
I had to choose.
What is it about bow hunting that's so interesting?
It's the intimacy and the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, you're bow hunting. I mean, you can have a deer at 10 yards. You're still not sure you're going to kill that deer or even have an opportunity.
Yeah. You got to get up close.
Oftentimes you're gun hunting. You see a deer, you kind of know the outcome.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But bow hunting's just, there's so many variables
to it. Whole different ball game.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your, now when you start out as a youngster, what did you use for deer rifle?
My first deer rifle, when I first started, I was single shot shotgun.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then my first deer rifle was a 30-30. Marlin 336. Yeah.
And what do you like to hunt with today?
Today, if I'm in a stand, I hunt with a Bolt 308. Mm-hmm. If I'm tracking, I hunt with a 30-odd six pump.
Yeah.
Remington. And I still got my old 30-30 with a peep sight that I carry some days for nostalgia. Yeah. So
I had a 35 Marlin with a Lyman peep sight.
I remember.
Back when my eyes were better.
Yep.
And that was a good good brush gun.
Yeah.
Good
deer great gun. Little gun.
Yeah. You probably don't keep track, but I know that you do get deer year after year. Have you ever had a year where you got skunked?
I haven't in, I think, over 20 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been a long
time. Is that right?
Yeah.
Gee willikers. Yeah. This guy, I hate this guy. I go like every other year if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you do it year after year. All right. So then we have to get down. Now, I've quizzed you privately about where you hunt and you won't tell me squat. And I respect that. I mean, I respect that. And then you got to keep, because everybody shows up there at a place like that.
Loose lips, sink ships.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But what do you look for in deer cover? What do you like?
So it varies. Obviously food, you know, it always goes back to the simple things. You need food, you know, you need cover, you need bedding, and you need water. And it's just deciding what the food is of that year. Are they browsing? Is it a year like this that it's acorns and beech nuts? And even that is made it almost more difficult. I mean, I think this year has been almost harder because there's so much food. The deer don't seem to.
They don't have to move very far.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been different.
Yeah, but, I've never seen so many acorns.
Probably. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I like topography. You know, I like to hunt hills and saddles and that sort of thing.
So you do look for topography?
I do. Yeah.
Do you think deer? Is there any particular terrain that deer like for security cover, do you think? Or are they gonna?
So they like, in my experience, terrain to travel. And you can see this in that you can find an area where you've known deer to travel forever. That area could get cut. Those deer still use that same travel corridor.
Even though it's been logged?
Mm-hmm. You'll find it over the years. They'll come right back to that same situation. So oftentimes it's just knowing that terrain.
Yeah.
That they like to do.
And, I mean, and you
cover and edge always makes a difference, but yeah.
You do a lot of homework, right?
I do, yeah.
And that's what a lot of guys and gals don't do. They don't scout.
Correct.
But you gotta do your homework, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You see, we follow the Maine Deer Hunter page on Facebook, and the number of people in the middle of the season, like, hey, will somebody take me out so I can shoot a deer? And it's like,
yeah, you got to know where they are.
Yeah, this is like all things in life.
Yeah,
the harder you work at it, the better you'll be.
Oh yeah,
you know.
And, yeah, you know, that's one thing that I do that helps me. I do persevere.
You do.
You got to do that, don't you? You got to spend your time in the woods, Bob, if you're going to.
I would think so. Just like fishing.
Yeah, it is.
You got to get a line wet or you're not going to catch one.
You got to.
And it is time.
You got to put your time in, right?
All the scouting in the world, you know, is great, but it's also time.
Yeah.
You know, it's boots on the ground and and being there.
Yeah. If you folks at home have a question for Josh Cottrell, what's the number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039.
Okay, and we're going to take a break, are we, Norm? Okay, you folks at home, you stay with us. We have a lot more to talk about. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and our guest is deer hunter Josh Cottrell. And again, if you have questions for Josh, we welcome your calls at
1-800-966-1039.
Josh, one of the things I want to talk with you before we run out of time here is the tools of the trade. You got the gun. But then there's some other things. There's rattling. There's the use of doe urine. There's the use of a doe bleat. How do you feel about those different? Do you believe in those things?
I use some judiciously. I don't believe in scents personally. I just don't.
You don't really?
No, I've never been a big fan of them. And if you're putting them out, that means you're walking where you want the deer to go. So then your scent's there. So, no, I've never been a scent guy. Calls.
Even when you're bow hunting, you don't.
I don't.
Never. Some other folks that I've kind of chummed around with this fall. They're pretty liberal with they find like a scrape. They'll spray it every day to freshen it up.
Exactly.
And they had some pretty good results.
And he had a good, I don't argue if they work or not. I just
don't do it.
I just don't use them personally. So
probably don't like the smell, right?
That's all. just one more thing, you know. Sometimes simplify can be easier. And then calls, I don't blind call typically.
You don't?
You know? No. And I'll call, usually I'll grunt to a buck if I can see it and if it's not coming my way.
But only if you can see it.
Yep, only if I'll see it.
You wouldn't do a blind grunt?
I wouldn't personally. So anytime you call to a deer, you're risking the chance that it's going to come downwind of you.
And they know where you are.
Exactly. And so I will rattle in a situation like the buck I killed Monday. I had a barrier behind me. I had a stream.
Yeah.
And so I knew where I was and I knew there were bucks and I had the wind blowing over the stream.
Yeah.
And well, given it was the first week in November, I was like, if you're ever going to rattle, this is the week to do it. And so I rattled and he came in within 10 minutes.
Can you do that with small antlers or do you need hefty ones?
I actually use a rattling bag.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Oh, so it's not real antlers?
Not real antlers. And fixing a pack, easy. Yep.
Okay. And how often do you rattle?
So I'll do it like once, maybe twice.
Like every half hour or 20
minutes? Yeah. I'll literally do it once. And if I get a reaction, you know, and same thing. If I can see a buck and he's out of range, I'll rattle at that buck if I know that I can keep him in sight.
Yeah. And it has worked for you more than once?
Yeah. I've killed, I think, at least four that I've rattled in. Yep.
Now, in every case, did you know they were there before you rattled?
Two were blind. The rest were.
Yeah.
So I think it's five. I think three have been deer that I've seen and rattled back in. So,
That's interesting. Because I know there's different schools of thought on whether the rattling is a waste of time or not. You certainly have proven that it works.
They all work. I mean, bleats will work. I mean, there'll be 50 guys that could call in and go, I turned over the Primos can and a deer ran right at me, you know?
Yeah.
It happens, you know, they all work. And,
I have one of those little can bleats.
Exactly. They work great, but I think they work less, you know, they cause more harm than people know.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's better. Now, do you do more still hunting or tree stand hunting?
I'm pretty much a tree stand guy.
Yeah.
Unless it's snowing, and then I'll go track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you use the standard hanger type stand? Or
no, I hunt out of what's called a saddle. So,
do use a saddle?
I've hunted out of a saddle.
That's what Pete Caron does.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You know Pete?
I know Pete. Yep.
Yeah, he has a saddle as well.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 15, 20 years.
Have you really?
15 years, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Hunting out of a saddle, yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's gone mainstream and it's cool because there's a lot of new equipment.
Explain to me what a saddle is.
So, it's like almost like a harness that you wear.
A harness.
Yep. So, you climb the tree and you tie yourself to the tree and you're actually.
There's no ladder or anything.
Well, you do. You use ladders to get up.
Okay.
And I use even a different method, which we don't need to go into. It'd be a big explanation. But
You
have a climbing method. And then once you're up there, you lean away from the tree.
Lean back. And
You're kind of comfortable. And you can move around. You're very mobile, right?
Very mobile.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you can go up any tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people put one tree stand up for the season.
Yeah.
And they hunt that tree stand
every
day, regardless of what the wind's doing, what the weather's doing.
Right.
Oh, there was one question I meant to ask you. You were talking about the time you rattled in nice buck you got last week.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a stream. Could you tell us what stream that was? No. Was it Argyle?
It was a wet stream. Yeah.
A wet stream. Yeah.
One with water.
We have a caller.
Colebrook.
Yeah, Colebrook. We have a caller. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Very interesting show.
Thank you. What's your first name, sir?
This is Sneaker calling
in
again.
Oh, hey. Sneaker.
Fern.
Yeah. Fern Bossy.
Yeah.
How you doing? How you doing, Fern? Yeah. What's up?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Well, Josh and I started out the same way he did. Started out going with my dad when I was about 10.
Yep.
He didn't let me carry a gun until I was 13, and this was long before there was any age limit or anything like that. But, you know, I guess I'm in the twilight zone, you'd go to call it. But my first deer was shot with a 16-gauge shotgun with a slug on the last day of the season on my sophomore year in high school, and it was an 8-point buck.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I caught him laying down. He thought I was going to go by, and I didn't think that white spot underneath the little fir tree looked right. So I kind of concentrated on it a little bit, and then all the kaleidoscope pieces fit in together, and I said, son of a gun.
Yeah.
And I was well within range with that 16-gauge.
Oh, yeah.
I've done a lot of practice with it.
Yeah, those slugs and are lethal, yeah. Good.
Yeah, and I went on just exactly the way Josh did. I went with a 30-30 with a Williams receiver sight, and I did real good with that.
Yep.
And then what I hunt with now, I love lever actions. I love the Winchesters. My wife got me a Winchester 307. A lot of people will argue, well, you mean 308. No, it's a 307.
I've never heard of it.
All right.
A 307?
It's a 307. They came out of that.
Never heard of that.
They came out with that in the 90s, I believe.
Yeah? Must be tough
to get. Same year that Winchester chambered for the 358, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they had the angle eject so you can put a scope over the action.
Yeah.
The way you normally do.
Is that a lever action?
And,
Yeah.
Model, it's based on the Model 94.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Based on the name Model 94.
Yeah.
Problem with that is, you know, that's fine when there's bare ground because you have to eject the shells. And I got so I could hit my hat quite often, but not all five or six shells I had in there. And I got a real good deal on a Browning lever action Lightning, all right, it's in 308 caliber, and that is so quick because the clip works real good and whatever like that, and it's light.
Now I have to ask you, have you taken a deer every year in the past 20 years?
Well, I haven't missed many, let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good for you. That's great.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I still hunted.
Yeah. All right.
I still hunted.
All right. Well,
and the other thing is, talking about deer camps.
Yeah.
All right. I would think that every camp has their own traditions or whatever like that or whatever. I had one for over 50 years, and one of the main rules was the person that cooks never does dishes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right? That's a definite.
And then the dishes, we used to cut the cards, and high card washed and low card wiped.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's the way it always was. Always was, and it was fun.
Fern, somebody wrote a great book. I have it at home in my library, a book about the history of deer camps in America. And he actually he did a master's thesis or doctoral thesis on it. And he determined what the average lifespan of a deer camp was. In other words, how long do they last before they end up infighting or something? How long do you think the average deer camp lasts in America?
Oh, probably 65, 70 years.
Nope.
50 years.
20 to 25 years is the average.
Really?
The Skulkers of Sebois have been at it since 1969. Yep. And,
that's when I had my first camp.
So that's over 55, 57 years, yeah.
That's right.
And the second generation has taken over. Yeah. We've lost a lot of the first generation. Yours truly, I guess, is the only guy left that's still going to camp. And I feel very blessed to be able to do so.
Yep.
Yep.
You want to.
Yep. Well, okay. Good to hear from you, Fern.
About the same story here. Yep. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Yep.
We'll be in touch.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Yep. Okay. We're going to take a break, I think. I'm getting a high sign here from the engineer. So let's take a break, folks, and we'll be right back. You stay with us. Oh, no? Oh, yes, live commercial.
Live commercial here.
I could read his lips.
Yes, and of course, it's General Appliance in Broa.
Yes, sir.
And they've moved up the street a little bit, and they got a new owner now.
And they have been a sponsor for this show ever since the beginning.
They've over 20 years.
Yes.
Way over 20 years.
Yes.
Gosh, it's a quarter of a century, you say.
Hard to believe, yeah.
It is hard to believe.
Yeah.
Well, they have gas lights, of course. They're specialized in gas ranges and freezers and lights and composting toilets and
right away,
new owner is Gary Coleman. They have parts,
But, you know, they really have a lot of used appliances as well.
Yes, they do.
And anybody's got a camp somewhere, like these hunting camps, and probably off the grid, most of them. Right?
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
Are. There's gas lights. You probably have gas lights,
gas refrigerators, gas ranges, all of those.
The whole works.
Yeah.
I did my first camp down at Flanders Pond years ago. So we were off the grid there. But
you probably had gas lights, too?
We had everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everything.
Yeah. You
everything.
Can buy the you can buy the mantles over there.
I bet you can.
Yeah.
And those are hard to find.
Get new gas lights, mantles.
Yeah, everything.
Okay.
And parts.
You bet.
Parts, all your stuff that you get in.
Do they have a phone?
They have used gas appliances. Along with electrical.
Yes, they do. They have a phone number there, too.
They do. They certainly do. It's 989. Write this down. 989-3714.
All right.
So check them out. This is not a big box store. This is a nice little place.
Yeah, they're great folks.
They can do all your needs for you and know what they're doing.
Yes, sir.
And they can back them up.
You bet.
Okay.
All right. We have a caller standing by. May I have a question for Josh Cottrell? Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hey, guys. You talking about hunting camps? When I was a kid growing up, my father and four other men built a hunting camp up here in Cocagio, North Greenville.
Yep.
And they had rules, and the first rule of camp was no wives allowed. They could have women there, but they weren't allowed to have the wives there. Well, one of the guys got caught with his wife there. And all of a sudden, they had to change the rules. So then they had to make it a family camp, and it's passed down three generations. It's no longer a hunting camp. It's just, I was a member of the camp for a while, but I just can't deal with all these strange people I don't even know. So I had to back out.
All right, let me ask you a question. What is your first name again?
Jim.
Okay, Jim, personal question.
Yep.
Now, we're in a different day and age, right? This is the age of equality, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think wives wives or daughters or what? Is it okay to have women become members of a men's deer camp, do you think, today?
Absolutely.
The
thing I have a problem with is when I went into Walmart last Friday, and I was greeted by a guy with a yellow mohawk and spikes sticking out of his neck. I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
No, as far as hunting camps, man, hey, if the women want to go hunting, go for it.
You know, my wife, Diane, loves to hunt. And I brought her up for the first couple of days at deer camp when most of the guys weren't there. And she had a good time. She enjoyed it, and I don't think they objected to having her there. And,
You got to understand, these guys back in '67 were working in the shipyard down in Kittery, working on nuclear submarines, and they needed to get away from their families for a short time, you know, to
get a break,
for a stress relief.
Sure.
So I don't know, but. Yeah. But the kids today, I tell you, I'm good.
Okay, Jim, we appreciate your call, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And Norm was shaking his head. He didn't think wives belong at deer camp. What a male chauvinist.
Well, the thing is, haven't you noticed that there's a lot of women gatherings that are women only?
Oh, yeah.
And nobody says anything about that.
Yeah. Well, my wife belongs to a book club, and I tried to get in, and they wouldn't let me in because I'm a male.
Yeah, so it's like...
Yeah, not fair.
It's like they don't pay attention to that, but if a guy organization decides to do guys only, it's like all the hairs come on people's necks.
Yeah.
But while I'm on the air, Josh, we had a call, and the gentleman was asking if you've ever hunted out of state, and if you have, how do you compare that to what goes on
here? Good question.
I have. I've deer hunted Kansas, I've elk hunted Colorado, and mule deer hunted Colorado. I've hunted Maryland, Virginia, for whitetails. Very different. And it's, if you can hunt in this state, you can hunt anywhere in this country.
Yeah.
And you take somebody that's a good hunter in Maine and put them in Kansas or the Midwest, they're going to excel.
Yeah.
It's a whole different ball game.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost, I hate to say it's kind of easy.
Especially in Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like rabbits down there. Yeah. Deer camp. What do you like about deer camp?
It's the camaraderie, you know.
I, as you know, when I was younger, was probably a little arrogant in how I hunted and probably thought I was a little above deer camp. And now that I've aged a little bit and settled down, and I really enjoy the week.
It's a good time.
It really is. Yeah. And deer hunting almost becomes the second part of that for me.
The food takes takes a high priority, right?
No, absolutely.
You have to eat well.
And the sitting around and talking about deer. I mean, it's fun to do that, and everybody's got a story
great stories.
You get to learn from others. I mean, I don't care how long you've been hunting. If you're not learning, then you're not going to get any better.
You bet.
And so that part's fun.
Yeah. One of the things that this guy does, Bob, is he takes a whole deer shoulder, a front shoulder of a small deer.
Mm-hmm. And, or a large one.
Or a large one. And he puts it on a smoker. He's got a smoker.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, I mean, I've eaten a lot of venison. I've eaten a lot of moose and bear and elk. But I ain't ever tasted anything as good as the smoked shoulder, venison shoulder. It's better than backstrap ever thought of being. Now, what's the secret to that?
Time.
Huh?
Time. That's the thing about slow cooking. You know, smokers is all about slow cooking.
Slow cooking, yeah.
So the best thing you can do to any venison cooking it is cook it slow.
Cook it slow.
And with moisture.
Yeah.
So the way that one is, it gets smoked for 3 hours to give it the flavor.
Yeah.
And then I wrap it with beer and cook it for another 3 to 4 hours low. And that's what makes it super tender. So it gets all the flavor in the initial part.
It is fantastic.
And then the end finishes and it gets that pull apart, flaky thing.
Let's take a call before we run out of time. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Josh Cottrell. Go ahead.
Quick camp. A quick story about our camp. We had a journal inside and a journal on the outhouse.
Yeah.
The one in the inside was kind of boring. Well, I visited the outhouse once, and my uncle had left a note for my other uncle saying he left a warm one for him. Thank you.
Okay. On that note, are you still there, caller? Oh, he hung up. Okay. I thought when he said the journal, he was talking about the sporting journal being left in the outhouse. That's a good place for one of the there's good reading material out there at the outhouse. Okay, we're getting low on time, I think, aren't we?
Just a little over a minute.
Yeah. Josh, I want to thank you for being here, and look forward to having you up to camp, and still like to know what the name of that stream was, but I guess we're not going to find that out. You're like me, you're tagged out.
Tagged out, yeah. We'll be camp cooking.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my buck on a little spike horn on Saturday.
Yeah, good for you.
And I'm very pleased with that. And so I'll be cooking and washing dishes and lugging wood as well. And you folks at home, if you're a deer hunter, we wish you a good, safe fall. You still have plenty of time left. Now, do you black powder hunt?
I do, but can't this year.
You can't this year. No?
Right.
All right. Well, it's all over for us. But there's nothing.
Bring a shotgun.
You could shoot birds.
Bird hunt. Oh yeah. There's no birds up there.
I know. Well,
can you wishful think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, Phil is up to camp already, and he saw one bird.
Oh yeah.
First bird we've seen this year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's too bad the grouse have been shortage.
They didn't have a good spring.
No.
They didn't.
Anyway, we're about out of time, and we're glad you were with us tonight. Bob Lehman is going to host the show next week. Yours truly is going to be ensconced at Deer Camp.
Yes.
And you are going to take the show next week.
I am.
And do you have a hot guest lined up?
Well, no, but I've got several in mind.
Several in mind.
Very interesting. You'll find out.
All right. And we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.